You're listening to VPR. I'm Alex Keefe. Vermont's nearly 120,000 Catholics will be getting a new leader tomorrow. Bishop Christopher Coyne will be installed as the 10th Bishop of Burlington. The 56-year-old Coyne brings with him a reputation for social media savvy and vows to address the church's sliding popularity here and the scars of clergy sexual abuse. Rocco Palmo first broke the news of Coyne's appointment on his blog Whispers in the Loggia, where he writes about Catholic Church policy and politics. He joins us now to talk about the Pope's new man in Vermont. Rocco, thanks for taking the time.
Anytime now. Thanks for having me.
So Bishop Coyne was in Indianapolis before coming here. He was in Boston before that. What kind of reputation has he built for himself among church officials and among the people in the pews?
He's built a reputation in terms of leadership as a man of the future. He was the first blogging priest in the Catholic Church, anywhere in the Catholic world, to be named a bishop when he was named in 2011. I mean, until that time, Vatican officials had been kind of skeptical or even aversive to new media outreach. And Coyne was just doing this in his parish for fun. And among people, you know, of course, Vermont had the experience of Bishop Metano, who's kind of an austere figure.
Very different, I gather, than Bishop Coyne.
Very different. I mean, you're going to be seeing Coyne in not just in church around Vermont, but probably at the breweries or festivals. And, you know, he just loves being around real people and actually getting to know them as opposed to just kind of waving from a distance.
He had the unenviable job of being a media spokesman for the Archdiocese of Boston during the clergy sex abuse scandal there about a decade ago. This was a time with a lot of distrust between journalists and the public and the church. I'm wondering if you can speak to how that experience affected his reputation within the church.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, he wasn't the spokesman for the Archdiocese when the sexual abuse crisis broke in 2002 in Boston. But, you know, they said, look, you know, Coyne's good with people, but part of the condition in which he accepted the job was basically to say, okay, look, we're not stonewalling anything, and we're not lying to you. And he really began to affect the culture change in what had been a fortress-like and very defensive archdiocese and hierarchy in Boston. And, you know, people in the church actually were very not pleased about that, but it spoke to the need of the time, and it actually won him a huge amount of goodwill among the local press in Boston, among national press. And he'll say even now, you know, just there is no room for error with this, and the first thing the church has to do is to be honest.
You mentioned Coyne's reputation as the blogging bishop, this nickname he's earned himself. And his Twitter feed is full of scripture quotes and quotes from gospel, but also tweets about him, you know, testing out his selfie extension stick, which we don't always associate with Catholic bishops. But I'm wondering how we can expect this social media presence to figure into the mission of the church here in Vermont.
Well, clearly, you know, everybody in the church, or at least in church leadership, knows the stats. I mean, Vermont is, so they say, the least religious state in the country in terms of an attachment to organized religion. If you want to be serious about it, you have to ask, well, where has the church dropped the ball? And has it been in that sense of we haven't reached out to our people? And so, you know, when you think Catholic bishop, Chris Coyne is not the kind of character who pops up into your mind instinctively. And so it's a very daring choice to send somebody like him into Vermont. So I think there are going to be lots of selfies, and there's going to be, you know, jokes about the Pats, especially coming up on Super Bowl weekend. I mean, this is someone who, when one of his closest friends came to visit him in Indianapolis, what they did for fun was a kind of Guy Fieri-style diners, drive-ins, and dives tour around the area. So I'm sure, you know, once the roads thaw out and it's nice enough, he'll probably be taking to that between parish visits in Vermont.
As you mentioned, Vermont does have this reputation for being a socially liberal state, for not being a very religious state. Does Coyne's appointment reflect any effort to cater to those type of views on the part of the church?
You know, you're making it sound as if social liberalism is somehow opposed to Catholic teaching and practice.
I mean, I guess a lot of people would consider the Catholic Church's views more conservative in some ways.
Well, it depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about same-sex marriage or abortion, that's one thing. If you're talking about capital punishment or preferential option for the poor, you know, the way the church looks at this stuff isn't as being political, and the church doesn't cater to the left or the right. It's open to everybody. Francis, since his election, has used this term. It's probably the most quoted line of his, and Coyne used it himself on the day of his appointment, that bishops, pastors, and the church should have the smell of the sheep. You should be like your people, and you should be someone who, you know, reflects your people. So I think if you're looking at it in that sense, bringing home a New Englander who never lost his affection for the Pats, but also is known to be obsessed with Dunkin' Donuts and all the other trappings of New England, it has all the makings of a really good fit.
We've been talking with blogger and journalist Rocco Palmo about the installation of Vermont's new Catholic bishop. Rocco, thank you.
Anytime, Al. Thank you.